A little boy was busy working at the table one day, and his mother asked him what he was doing, and he said, "Well, I'm painting a picture of God." And his mother said, "But son, nobody knows what God looks like." And the little boy thought for a moment, and he said, "Well, they will when I'm finished." John chapter 1, verse 18, that we just read, says, "No one has ever seen God." Now, we might question that statement, "No one has ever seen God." When you go back to the Old Testament, there's some interesting verses. In the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 9 and following, we read, Exodus 24, verse 9, we read that Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven, for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate, and drank. It says they saw God. But what did they see of God? Further on in the book of Exodus, in chapter 33, we have an incident that you may be quite familiar with, where Moses was up on the mountain, this was when he went back after he had broken the tablets the first time because he was so furious at what the people were doing when they made the golden calf and all of that. And he was up on the mountain again. And we read that he asked the Lord to show him, "Please show me your glory." This is Exodus 33, verse 18. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." They had obviously seen something of God. But now Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, that is, God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." God showed himself to Moses, but it seems only, we might say, from the back. Just the trailing end of who he really is. He could not look on his glory. No one could look upon the full glory of God and live. Without a revelation, we would have no way of knowing God. We cannot see God. So how do we know God? We've just come through the Christmas season when we've talked about and celebrated the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, the Son of God in human form. And there's a little story that is rather interesting. A World War II soldier was leaving for war, and before he left his wife and infant son, he said, "I will be back soon." Well, 5 years of war and fighting went by. The young mother would show her boy, as he was starting to grow up, she would show him a portrait, a picture of the soldier, and say, "See, that's your daddy. One day he's going to come home." In reality, she didn't know what to expect. But one morning the boy said, "Mommy, wouldn't it be great if daddy would just step out of the picture frame?" You know, in a sense, that's what God did 2,000 years ago. As part of his eternal plan, he stepped out of heaven and he became a man so that people could look on him, could look on Jesus, look at Jesus and say, "That's what God is like. That's what God looks like." Verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God." but the only God, the only, the God, the one and only. There's different translations of this phrase. It's kind of an obscure phrase. My translation says the only God. Some say God, the one and only, or God, the only Son, the eternal one who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He has come to reveal God, the Father, to us. Previous to that, in verse 14, John wrote, "And the Word, the eternal Word, the one who was with God, the Father in heaven, the eternal Son, became flesh and dwelt among us, made his tabernacle among us, tabernacled among us, lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to reveal the Father. How has he done that? We know that God doesn't have a body. He does not have physical human features, even though those kind of things are often used. We talk about, and the Bible talks about, the hand of God, the eyes of God. But he doesn't have a physical being. He is not a physical being. He is a spirit. Even though he can and has on occasion revealed himself or shown himself to people in human form, in physical form. But when we talk about God revealing himself to us, we are more concerned with what he is like, his nature, his character, than how he looks, because he has no physical appearance. And so we want to look at that a little bit this morning. And the first question we need to consider is, why did Christ come to reveal the Father? Obviously, we know that Jesus came to die for our sins and so on, and I'm not in any way minimizing that. That is the whole reason Jesus came to earth, in the overall scheme of things. But Christ came to reveal to us what God is like. He came, he became flesh and dwelt among us that we would see his glory. He came to make known the Father. Why? Well, one of the problems that mankind has always had in relating to God is the distance between God and man. Not physical distance. We're not talking about space. Not the fact that God is in heaven and we're on earth. It's not the distance that's the problem. It's the spiritual distance. The difference between us and God. Between human finiteness. We are very limited and God is infinite. A.W. Tozer, in his little book entitled The Knowledge of the Holy, in discussing the vast gulf between man and God, said this, and I quote, "We must not think of God as the highest in an ascending order of beings, starting with the single cell and going on up from the fish to the bird to the animal to man to angel to cherub to God. This would be to grant God eminence, even preeminence. But that is not enough. We must grant him transcendence in the fullest meaning of that word. Forever, God stands apart in light, unapproachable." End quote. God is not in the same ballpark. He is not the highest in an order of beings. He is completely separate from everything else. And that's really what transcendent means. It means that he is above everything. He is apart from everything. It's a little story that I think helps to illustrate perhaps our problem in knowing God. It was a wintry day, maybe something like this, and a Christian man, was walking down the street and he noticed that someone had dropped some bread or grain in the street. And a flock of hungry sparrows had monopolized it for an unscheduled feast. They were enjoying what was there, and the man paused, and then he took a step in their direction, going toward them. And the birds became rather uneasy. You could see them fidgeting. And another step, and their nervousness increased. And when he was almost upon them, they just flew away, leaving their meal unfinished. And for a few moments, the man stood there reflecting on what had happened. Why had those sparrows scattered in flight? He had meant them no harm. But almost immediately, the thought came to him, it's you. You're the problem. You're too big. And then another question pressed in upon his mind as he thought about it. He thought, how could I ever walk among those birds without frightening them? The only way would be if I could become a sparrow and fly down among them and be one of them. And that's the problem that we have with God. He is infinite. And in His infinity, He is so big, so immense, so beyond us, so awesome, so powerful, that we cannot relate to Him, we cannot understand Him, and it seems to the human mind that there can be no way of knowing Him or trusting Him. He is only to be feared. And so God, in His desire to reveal Himself, as well as to make for mankind a way to come together, a way to for man and God to be reconciled in peace again, He sent His Son into the world. He came in human form. He came as one of us. He came to reveal God to us. He came to show us what God is like. So how did Jesus Christ reveal the Father to us? There are four specific things that I want to just mention today that Jesus came to reveal to us about the Father. I'm sure there's lots of other things we could talk about, but I want to focus on these four aspects which were revealed in Jesus Christ. He came, first of all, to reveal the nature of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, He, speaking of Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The invisible God, we can't see God, but Jesus came, and He is the image of the invisible God. And then in verse 19 of that same chapter, he says, For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And there's a whole lot of theology in that verse we don't have time for this morning. But everything that God is, every aspect of God's nature and character was in Jesus when He was on earth. Don't ever think that He was anything less than God. God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And in case the Colossians didn't quite get it, in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 9, Paul goes on to say, For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ revealed to us the nature of God. We can see what God the Father is like by looking at what the Son is like. He is exactly like the Father, His Heavenly Father. We often use that expression. We talk about someone and say, He's just like His Father. But no one has ever been so much like His Father as Jesus was. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the writer there says, The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. All that God was, Jesus was. He came to show us what God is like. All of the what we sometimes call the natural attributes of God were in the Son. Omnipotence. He was all-knowing. He was all-powerful. All-wise. Eternally present everywhere. Now, He couldn't be present everywhere in human form, but He yet was God. He came to reveal the nature of God. He also came to reveal the character of God. Not only to reveal the natural attributes of God, but He also came to show us what we call the moral attributes of God. These are the qualities that make up His character. Things like His love and compassion. You see that in so many cases throughout Jesus' life here on earth. He showed us the love, the compassion of God. When He met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, a woman steeped in sin, But Jesus loved her and had compassion on her. The woman taken in adultery, the fishermen who couldn't seem to understand the things he was teaching them, he showed them his love and compassion. We see it in his righteousness and holiness that was shown in his anger towards sin. See it in his condemnation. We see that, his righteousness, in his condemnation of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Matthew 23, when he spoke to the Pharisees about their hypocritical lifestyle, when they were so concerned about the minute details of tithing, but they missed the mercy that he would have them show. We see his disgust over injustice. We see his respect for that which was sacred in the temple when he drove out the money changers and the merchants. In these and in so many ways, Jesus revealed to us the character of God the Father. We get a glimpse of what God is really like, his moral attributes, his holiness and righteousness, his love and his compassion. He came to reveal the nature of God. He came to reveal the character of God. He also came to reveal the will of God. He came to teach us. He came to show us the things that are close to the heart of the Heavenly Father. He came to teach us how to live. Throughout his time here on earth, he gave us a great deal to guide us. Instruction on how we ought to conduct our lives, how we are to live our lives, how to trust him, how we ought to think, how we ought to act and speak. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he told us how important it is that we know and follow his will, because it has not only implications for this life, but for eternity. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He came to show us the Father's will. Throughout his time on earth, he taught his followers, and that includes us, even in this generation today. He came to teach us what God's will is and how he wants us to seek his will. He came to reveal the will of God. And fourth, he came to reveal the works of God. Now, this is in some ways very similar to the previous point, but I believe there's a subtle difference. Not only did God want us to know his will, that through Jesus Christ he revealed to us his will, but he also wanted us to see his works, what it is that he is doing. Jesus came to do his Father's works, and to do it perfectly so that we would see what it is that God is doing in the world. And I want to just take you to a few verses in the Gospel of John in other places. John talks more about this than anything else, than any of the other Gospel writers, about Christ's purpose in coming. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." Jesus came to reveal the Father's work, to show us what the Father's doing and what he wants to do and what he's accomplishing in this world. In verse 36, further down in that chapter, he says, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." Jesus came to do the work of God, to show us what God was doing. And then over in John 14, this is toward the end of Jesus' life in the upper room the night before he was crucified, before he was arrested, as he spoke with his disciples and he gave them that promise of an eternal home and that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Philip, in verse 8, says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. We read that Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. See, he came to reveal the Father to us. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my authority, my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. He came to show us what God is doing. He wanted us to not only see the work of God, but to be involved in doing the work of God. Because he goes on in the very next verse. Verse 12, Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus came to reveal the works of God, his Heavenly Father. He came to show us what it is that God is doing in the world. He came to, in a sense, roll back the curtains and give us a glimpse of God's plan and purpose for this world, that we might be doing his work as well. It's no wonder that John said, chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the only God, the only one who is truly God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus Christ, in his incarnation, brought God within our reach. That word incarnation, do you understand what that means? I looked it up. The dictionary defines incarnation as the embodiment of a deity in earthly form. And then it went on to say that in reference to Jesus, it means the union of divinity with humanity in Jesus Christ. The idea that God and man came together in Jesus Christ. Perfect union. 100% man, 100% God. And in that incarnation, that human form of God, he brought God within our reach. It's a little girl who said to her mother one day, Mama, I like you better than God. Mother was a little taken aback and said, But dear, you really shouldn't say that. And she says, But Mama, I really do like you better than God. And so, still taken, somewhat shocked, her mother says, But my dear, why do you say that? What makes you say that? And the little child simply responded, Because I can hug you. Because you're there. That little girl expressed the universal desire of man to have a connection with God in a personal and tangible way. A spirit without a body is difficult for us to conceive. It's hard to get our heads around that. But a real flesh and bones man is a concrete reality that we can understand. Now, we don't have Jesus in human form with us here today. But in the incarnation, Jesus brought God within reach, we might say, within embracing distance. Jesus came to show us what the Father is like. He came to bring God within our reach. The sad thing is that when he came that first time, most people rejected him. In the same passage that we read earlier, we read in verse 10 that he was in the world and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. They rejected him. He came to reveal the Father in all his glory, at least as much as we could view. He came to reveal his nature, his character, his will, his work. He came to bring God within reach. Most of all, he came to bridge the chasm between God and man by offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. But none of that matters if we don't recognize Him, if we don't receive Him through faith. The world rejected Him. But then we have the promise in verse 12 that to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came to reveal the glory of the Father. He came to reach out to us. Have you reached out to Him? Have you accepted Him as your Savior and Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who in His incarnation came and brought within reach the wonderful glory of heaven. Lord, we cannot understand. We cannot ever truly comprehend God. But yet Jesus came to reveal to us Your character, Your nature, Your will, Your work. Lord, may we respond as we ought to that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.